This is Oklahoma Perspective. Route 66, otherwise known as the Mother Road, runs through the heart of Tulsa. The significance of this historical road is well known to everyone across the country. But the Mother Road is deteriorating. Ken Busby of the Route 66 National Historical Trail talks to KRMG's Russell Mills about his concerns and what needs to be done.
I was reading up on this a little bit. The Mother Road has been considered an endangered monument for more than a decade now. Can you talk to us a little bit about what the dangers are and what happened here recently that concerns you?
Sure. Well, the dangers are that you've got 2,448 miles of a monument. It's ginormous when you think about it. And it's going through major urban areas. It's going through small rural areas. It's traversing this country all the way from Chicago to Santa Monica. And so and it's such an iconic piece of American history and Americana. So it's really important and challenging to maintain because it's just so big and there's so many roadside attractions and just the road itself and roadbeds and all the things that go into maintaining anything like that are just challenging. And so for the last 20 years from beginning in 1999, up until this year, 2019, there was a Route 66 corridor preservation program through our U.S. federal government that made $10 million available. That sounds like a lot of money. That's not just a year or something. That's like $10 million over 10 years. So we had a total of $20 million over 20 years. But it was a federal matching grant program so that communities, large and small, along Route 66 could restore areas in need of repair, roadside attractions, to fund kitschy things that we all think of, like the Blue Whale and the Meadowgold sign and things like that. And so Congress appropriated that funding back in 1999, reauthorized it in 2009, and then it sunset just about a month ago here in 2019, and Congress said it's not going to reauthorize it. So several years ago, the Road Ahead Partnership was formed about 4, maybe 5 years ago to focus on this, knowing that this was going to sunset, knowing that we needed to do something. And one of their main goals as an organization is to have the Route 66 from Chicago to Santa Monica designated as a National Historic Trail. This would be done through the National Park Service. And so there are other trails and so forth, but this is the longest one. This would be the longest. So it's been a lot of educating of Congress and explaining how this could work and what it would mean. And so Senator Jim Inhofe was a co-sponsor of the legislation, which was great. This all really started, I think, strongly in 2017. It started in the House, and then it moved over to the Senate in 2018. Senator Inhofe was a co-sponsor, and then it didn't quite get done. Everything was being done knowing that it was going to end in 2019, so that the idea was we'd have this in place. It would become a National Historic Trail. That would mean federal funding would be again available, and we would just sort of keep things moving. But sadly, the country's been a little preoccupied the last few months with another issue that seems to have taken priority. Personally, I think Route 66 should be our top priority, but that's just me. And so consequently, all the approvals, and this is an issue, this historic designation seal, or National Historic Trail designation, is really bipartisan. I mean, there's nobody coming out against Route 66. It's got bipartisan support in the House, bipartisan support in the Senate, but it still has to go through all the normal processes. And so it's one of those things that got hung up once in a committee. It got out of the committee. Everything was fine again. It was on track. And so our understanding is that it's sitting somewhere on Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi's desk, that it's like in a stack of other things that need to be put through. And so we're just waiting. So come January, we'll start the Road Ahead Partnership. We'll start again and we'll all start again saying, okay, could we start looking at this, please? I say start in January. We have to get through this other issue, and I don't know how long that'll take, but it's not a top priority for them, but it is there. And once it's approved, then that does make federal matching grants available again. So cities large and small throughout Oklahoma and across this great country from Chicago to Santa Monica can take advantage.
Okay, so let me clarify.
That was long, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I did that all in one breath.
Yeah, well, it's not like you may have had this conversation before, but let me go back to and clarify a couple of things. First off, you said it's on Nancy Pelosi's desk. Was this a House bill or a Senate? I'm confused because I thought you said it started in the House,
Moved to the Senate.
So it's already been passed in the House. Then a Senate version got passed, and now
the Senate version got passed, so now it has to go back to the House.
And they either pass that version, or else they have to have a reconciliation between the two bills. Okay, so I understand where it's at in the process.
Yeah.
And what I didn't understand there was, you know, saying that, well, it was, you know, and obviously you're referring to the impeachment stuff that's been going on. But that's all been in the House. You know, it hadn't really hit the Senate yet. In fact, it technically has not touched the Senate at all at this point.
Right. So, well, that's a good point. So now that this is done, and maybe I should have clarified that, but now that this is done, and passed to, once it actually gets passed to the Senate, that's why I said first of the year, it depends on when the articles actually get passed as to whether the House can spend any time on it again, you know?
Right.
There's a whole stack of legislation they've got.
Well, I mean, the House has passed literally hundreds of bills.
Right.
That the Senate has not taken up, you know, since the 2018 elections. So,
right.
I mean, everything's sort of chaotic. But the main thrust of what I heard you say was all hope is not lost. It's a delay. It's frustrating. It sucks that this is the bigger priority, you know, from your perspective. But nobody's given up.
No one's given up. And because it has bipartisan support, we feel confident it will get approved. And we're very hopeful it'll be early in 2020. But we're just going to have to press on and get it back on top of the Speaker's desk and say, okay, now it's time to do this one. Because since it has gone to the Senate, if the House will pass the Senate's version, then it would just happen. If it doesn't, then there's got to be a little play between the two again. But hopefully, we're close.
Okay, so, and my understanding was this $10 million was made available to help, you know, maintain some of the historic places along Route 66, et cetera.
Correct.
$10 million, again, a drop in the bucket, really.
Oh, I know, man.
But
I know.
If what is currently before the Congress passes, does that amount increase? Does it increase if it becomes a historical trail or a national historical trail? Exactly. I'm not sure what the exact designation is.
Right. So it would become a National Historic Trail. No, it doesn't provide any direct funding, but it opens up every federal program that has anything to do with roads and bridges and so forth, that Route 66 projects would be able to be considered. And as a National Historic Trail would have some level of priority in the consideration of it. So there's no direct.
So it's a big deal. But it's a big deal.
It's a big deal. Yeah.
And that had not been previously happened. That had never been the case. That would be something new. And that, it sounds like, would be even a bigger deal than the, you know, $10 million a year, which is not chicken feed, you know, around my house, but in terms of...
Dude, it's $10 million over 10 years.
Oh, okay.
It'd be a million a year.
Yeah.
And if you average it out. So, yeah, it was nothing. I mean, it was better than nothing, but it was not much.
So that National Historic Trail designation, a good chunk of that would come through Tulsa and the metro. What would it mean for folks who live in our area?
Well, I mean, it opens up possibilities for more development along Route 66, taking old buildings or buildings that are dilapidated and so forth and repurposing them or restoring them. It could help it could help with more neon signs. It could help with people wanting to bring things back that have existed or somebody has in their garage that they just haven't done anything with. But it allows you to sort of stage Route 66 in a way to try to restore it to its heyday of the 40s and 50s and into the 60s. I say restore it. Yes, restore it. Obviously, somewhat repurposing. But right now, we have so many vacant buildings, vacant lots, things that are happening. This could help start making funds available to really start redeveloping. And then with redevelopment, then you're creating business, which is creating economic development, which leads to our sales tax increase, hotel motel taxes. People are spending the night because now you have more and more reasons to stay in Tulsa and visit Tulsa. And then this is true then for every other community along the road. All of a sudden, now they've got more reasons for people to stop in their communities and spend money. And given that Oklahoma is still the only remaining state in the nation that relies on sales tax for its operational support, this is huge. Sales. We live and die by sales tax. So this is critically important.
Ken Busby with the Route 66 National Historical Trail. The Tulsa area has a new agency which is specifically dedicated to bringing more tourists to the area. It's called the Tourism Improvement District, but some hotel owners don't like the new district and have filed suit against it. Recently, Ben Morgan talked to Pete Patel about the Tourism Improvement District, what it is, and what the lawsuit is about.
For people that may not even be aware of what any of this is about, can you, in like a quick little blurb, sort of tell me what is holding up this TID delay and explain the delay itself?
Sure. Let me just kind of briefly give you a little detail about the Tourism Improvement District.
Sure.
So we were able to pass legislation in the state level that allows communities like Tulsa, Oklahoma City, any community in the state to pass a Tourism Improvement District. So Tourism Improvement Districts are used to fund tourism related things, and ours is designed to fund marketing dollars to promote Tulsa region. And so we were, what we did was we got, cities have to approve, based upon the law, cities have to approve that also. So the city of Tulsa, and working with hoteliers for the last three and a half years, came up with this Tourism Improvement District, and it went before city council, and it passed last year at some point. Then as we started the implementation process of it, a couple of hoteliers, I don't know if they felt like this was not fair or whatever, but they basically filed a lawsuit to hold this from taking effect. And so that's kind of where we're at. And it's been literally in the courts for the last almost a year now.
And I know that lawsuit is a bit of an ongoing thing, so it's sort of hush-hush, but do you know, you sort of said you might think it's about, maybe they don't think it's unfair, but do you have any sort of concrete reasons that they may be filing this lawsuit, and do you know what this lawsuit entails?
Well, you know, I cannot speak for them, but I can tell you that the hotel community would be a great beneficiary of this. When we can attract events like the Bassmaster, we can attract NCAA events. The only one that wins is the business community and the citizens of Tulsa. And that's the fact that I don't understand is that it's bringing in more folks into town, which are filling up hotels, restaurants, or retail. And I think that's the misunderstanding that the opposition has towards it, is the effect of this Tourism Improvement District.
So it sounds like to me that most hoteliers are for this whole idea. They are down for having the Tulsa Improvement or Tourism Improvement District. It's only a few number of these hotel chains that don't want it. And so are these big hotel chains, or is this just something that you can't really discuss?
Well, I don't want to go into details, but it's not big hotel chains. It's a couple of individuals in the community that are involved.
Sure. Okay. So we'll move away from the lawsuit and sort of talk about how this delay in the Tulsa Tourism Improvement District has had a financial impact on Tulsa. So a great example, and it's in this press release, is the Bassmaster Classic in 2021. So tell people what we will be missing out on if we don't get this.
So I believe it's about $30 million in economic impact for the Tulsa community. Hotel nights, restaurants, the whole tournament. You know, a lot of times these tournaments have bid fees and things like that. That's true with NCAA. That's true with any major thing. These fees have to be paid. And the Tourism Improvement District would have allowed us to cover those fees to host this huge economic impact for our community. We've hosted it a couple of times before. And so, unfortunately, we will not host in 2021.
That is not good. And I think what people need to understand is this isn't tax money. This is not something they need to pay for, right?
Absolutely. This will be assessed from hotel guests that stay at hotels that are 110 or more rooms.
So where is there any money for to say, because this sort of stops the bidding to bring in any new attractions in the future, right? Like you can there after 2020, if this is still in limbo, there's nothing you can do, right?
It does jeopardize future events. I can tell you that.
So, excuse me. what do you think can be done to get this through and get this TID, you know, enacted? I mean, other than just wait and hope this lawsuit gets figured out, is there anything the community can do? Is it a waiting game?
Well, I think the community has to understand the economic impact of not getting this implemented as quickly as possible. Visit Tulsa, our arm of the chamber that promotes the city, they need to be able to go to future events, because events like NCA, they bid out 3-4 years in advance, and they need to be able to say, hey, we're trying for 2022, 2023, and we need the funding to be able to submit the bid fees or whatever the cost associated with putting those things on. And if those things are in limbo, then we are definitely, it's a huge economic impact for the community, and we have to figure that out as a community. And citizens of Tulsa, when they understand the economic impact, they'll all realize that, hey, it's not costing the citizens of Tulsa this. The economic impact of not having it will cost us more.
And so I'm reading here about a something that I guess should be made clear, the difference between a tourism, a tourism improvement district and a business improvement district. What are the difference between those two, and sort of just for people who may not be aware, there is a difference, or there is such a thing as a TID and a BID?
So a tourism improvement district allow, for example, in this particular one that has been set up, if you're a visitor to Tulsa and you stay at a hotel, this particular one, you stay at a hotel that's 110 rooms or more, there is a fee associated with that that you pay, and those funds go to attract things like the Bassmasters and stuff like that. A business improvement district, which I am not well versed on, I'll be honest with you. They have different, I believe it's capital improvement and things like that, that go into it. So I can't speak fully on the business improvement district, but there are two different things that are associated with those two districts.
So I want to go back to the lawsuit real quick. Say this lawsuit, you know, finally ends and you're able to establish the TID. Since it was proposed back in November of 2018, how soon would it take for that to actually go into effect? Would you start the day after the lawsuit ends? Would you need more time? What's the timetable looking at, say, the lawsuit were to end tomorrow?
So, you know, one of the things that I think the city has made us aware is to go ahead and collect the fees, because, again, a lawsuit put a temporary injunction on it, but I believe if it rules in favor of the city, then those fees need to be paid, and so it would be immediately collected on even some of those fees that should have been collected from the guests from the day it was implemented.
Pete Patel with the Tourism Improvement District. Special thanks to Ben Morgan and Russell Mills for the interviews. This is Oklahoma Perspective for Cox Media Group. I'm Bert Williams.